a nut house.
Blog Talk Radio.
A little scary there for a minute. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. And I'm here with...
Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And I'm here with...
Greetings and felicitations. Greetings and felicitations. Since I take it you didn't win the billion lotto, hang out with us because that's why I'm here too.
That's right.
And also on phone is...
It is I, Garza Ghoul of Horrible Horror, starring Garza Ghoul. Seen each Saturday on Twitch. Sure, why not? Okay, there you go. Blah, blah.
I would love to drive the lottery commission crazy, and if I won the billion, ask for it in coins.
Yeah, I want it in nickels, please.
I'd like that in nickels, please.
Oh, don't say nickels. I just
nickel?
Had a fight with Paladin over a nickel.
Over a
nickel?
Yeah, he found a nickel, and when I finally wrestled it from him, because I was afraid he was going to choke on it, he threw a tantrum.
Yeah.
He threw a little doggy tantrum. He was stamping his feet and making barky noises. It was funny. He was very upset that I took the nickel.
Yeah.
He had a puppy tantrum.
And now he's just upstairs doing this. Yep.
Doing his imitation of the yodeling pickle.
We are going to come up with a contest. We are going to come up with an actual contest. We'll discuss it offline. but we need to come up with a name for the goat. We must name the goat. The goat must have a name. And we'll come up with details later.
Does my ex count? That sounds a lot like my ex.
We could be like Stan Lee and give away a no prize.
There you go.
Much valued no prize from Stan Lee. That was a badge of honor back in the day.
I remember.
Yep. More about dreams tonight.
I'd share mine, but I never got it. Sorry.
It's a dreamy kind of a weekend. What the?
Hello.
Whatever it was in a clown car, it sounds like. I don't know. There you go. Yep. Definitely in a clown car. There we go.
Careening down your highway.
That's what I want to see, a goat coming down the street in a clown car.
But how many goats can you fit into a clown car? That's what I want to know.
That's right. Welcome to the chat. Sorry.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, clown car followed closely behind by a yodeling pickle. There you are.
Yeah.
It's back to CBS Radio Mystery Theater once again on a Saturday night. Plus, we'll have some more little stuff for you tonight, I'm sure.
Outstanding, outstanding.
We were discussing dreams that we have had, various dreams last night. CW, any just either disturbing or pleasant dreams that you recall as a Ute that stand
as
out?
A Ute?
Yeah.
Hmm. As a
or
Ute?
Recently.
Well, I would say. Or recently. I don't know. It would depend on who's on which side of the dream. For my part, my pleasant dream would be winning a large unconscionable quantity of cash, and the disturbing part is saying everyone, hey, it's payback time, and I've got the bucks to back it up.
There you go. No, I meant actual dreams that you have had.
Oh, well, let's see. The usual falling dream when you're just falling.
Like from a great height or just a...
Yes, a very great height. You know, you just keep falling. And the falling in and of itself is a pleasant experience. It's just when you're thinking when you hit bottom and that great big stop.
Yeah, falling is never a problem. It's the sudden stop at the end. That's where the troubles start.
That's where it gets a little ouchy.
Yeah. The falling can be fun if you let it. There you go.
Not so see that? It, not
yeah, that's about it. Yeah, that's
that
about
was
it.
Not a Wilhelm scream, but that was loud.
Sorry about that. I think she wanted to be sure we knew she was falling out the window.
I guess.
And just another Erie House red shirt.
Alas, the red shirt.
Yeah, they don't last long, do they?
Yeah.
No.
But they're a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely. And those red shirts are totally recyclable, by the way.
Yes. Only the abominable snowman can fall from that height, because Bumbles bounce. Didn't I ever tell you?
What bounces?
Bumbles
bounce?
Mm-hmm.
Or Bumbles?
Yeah, that's what Cornelius said.
Yeah. Okay.
Yukon Cornelius. Yeah.
Bumbles bounce and weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
There you go. And dreams are something that stuff is made of. And our tale tonight is entitled The Land of Dreams. Hey, Dave, someone we know went to Dreamland recently. But the land, yeah.
Mm. Area 51?
Yeah. No, there's a restaurant, I think, or some such place. Mike Mace posted something about it. Hi, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he did.
Yeah, he went to Dreamland.
Yes,
he went to Dreamland. And you have come to the Land of Dreams from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Ah, yes.
Who do we got in this one, Dave? Any stars of note? We should be paying attention.
You know, I think it's our cast of regulars, which are actually pretty good. But I don't think there's any outstanding new voices in this one. I don't know because I'm having trouble with my intranet at the moment.
Okay. Earl Hammond is in this.
They're not working right.
And Christopher Tabori is in this.
Yeah,
Earl Hammond.
Tabori. I've seen him on some TV things. He did a lot of stage, too, I think.
Uh-huh.
Indeed.
That name Earl Hammond sounds familiar.
Earl Hammond?
Yes.
It is so slow. How slow is it? Earl Hammond. Oh, yeah, he's one of the older guys. And Marion Haley. Written by Dan, who wrote more. Sam Dan wrote more episodes of the Mystery Theater than anyone else in the history of all these CBS Radio Mystery Theaters.
Yep. And this one was originally broadcast way, way, way back. Not that far, really.
September.
Not really. September 18th of 1981.
And it was repeated December 3rd.
Like yesterday.
Yeah.
41 years ago.
It was home.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. By the sweat of thy brow shalt thou earn thy bread, we are told by the book. And it's supposed to have been a punishment. But taking everything into consideration, is there a better way to earn one's bread and spend one's time? Aren't we also told that idle hands do the devil's work?
What is that?
It's an ancient, archaic weapon. It's called a gun.
What's a gun?
I suppose you could say it kills people.
Kills? What is that?
Well, I guess it simply factors them out of the human equation.
How?
You see that sheet of glass? Watch this. You could also do that to a human being.
Our mystery drama, The Land of Dreams, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Christopher Tabori and Marion Haley. Radio. It takes power to do the work of the world. Primitive man used his own muscles, and then some unknown genius saw that you could harness the strength of animals. One horse could do the work of 10 men. Modern man has replaced the animals with machines. One engine can do the work of 10, 50, 100, even 1,000 horses. But you have to give in order to get. Man could always control the animals. Controlling the machines could be another story. Every day, the machines become more intelligent. The day is close when man will have absolutely no work at all to do. How shall men and women get through the day? Journey with us some 2,000 years into the future.
They fall back. They fall back. Victory is ours. We have won the day. All hail Alexander the Great, conqueror of the Medes and the Persians.
This dream is over. Control hopes that you have enjoyed being Alexander the Great. You may choose another dream, active or passive, this afternoon. Now, we suggest you go to the park for mild exercise and then partake of luncheon.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Who? Me? No, nothing. Nothing, sir. Nothing.
All citizens are cautioned to be on the lookout for those who utter stupid statements. These must be reported to control at Station K immediately. This message is over.
Hi.
Hello.
You come here often?
Oh, yes, now and then. It's the most beautiful park in the province.
And it's a lovely day.
What did you say?
Oh.
You said it was a lovely day, didn't you?
I guess I did.
Everybody knows every day is a lovely day. Everybody knows it could never possibly be any other kind. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
So, you just said something stupid, didn't you?
Yes.
I should report you to control.
Please don't.
It'd be for your own good. You know the law of probability. Someone who says something stupid can probably be expected to do something stupid and should be watched.
Are you going to report me?
No. Let's forget it.
Well, you really should. Why don't you?
Maybe I think it's a lovely day, too.
You just said what I did.
So maybe I'm stupid, too. Are you going to report me?
Never.
I'd like to know you better.
How much better?
Completely better.
That means we have to get married.
I realize.
You've been married before, haven't you?
Oh, 10, maybe 12 times.
Oh, I can't remember all my marriages either.
You know, there's a marriage station just as you enter the park.
I know the one. I've been married there before.
I am activated. Your need?
Marriage.
Marriage.
Marriage. Stand by. The blue light. Face it, please. Thank you. Now, the red light. Thank you. You are now cleared for marriage. You are not cleared. I repeat, you are not cleared for reproduction.
Nobody ever is.
Did you say something?
Nothing, sir. Nothing.
Your marriage is officially approved. Congratulations.
Well, we were married.
Yes. No matter how many times I do it, I always get this feeling of excitement. Don't you?
Sure.
I always say to myself, maybe this will be the real one. Don't you?
But it won't be.
Why do you say that?
How can there be a real marriage if you're not cleared for reproduction?
Children? What's the point? You'd never get to see them. What would they be to you? What could you be to them?
Where should we go? My place or yours?
Well, mine's across the water. Well,
mine's in the valley. It's nearer, I guess.
All right.
How are you this morning?
Oh, all right. We're married. What's your name?
Joe. What's yours?
Oh, Pris.
Good morning, citizens. I hope you enjoyed a restful sleep. Your nutritious breakfast has already been mixed and is waiting for you in the serving compartments. The morning dreams begin at 9 and will run until luncheon. It has come to the attention of control that there is a subversive activity called a farm operating somewhere within the province. If apprehended, the farmers will be factored out of the living equation. All citizens who possess any knowledge of this illegal operation must report immediately to Computer Station K. This message is over.
A farm?
Why do you want to know?
Well, we're supposed to report to control if we find it. But how could I find it if I don't know what it is?
From what I've been told, a farm is a place where they grow things.
What sort of things?
Oh, fruits, vegetables.
What are those?
They were round things, although some may have been like cylinders. They grew on trees or bushes. Some of them even came right up from the ground. They were tomatoes, and there were oranges and apples.
I don't understand.
We have a taste called tomato, and one called apple, and so forth, right?
Yes.
Well, at one time, you had things that were actually tomatoes and apples.
Is that really true?
Today, everything is chemistry, formulated in tanks and so forth. But in those days, you would pick the actual fruits and eat them.
Do you expect me to believe that?
Oh, but it was more. It was a whole way of life. See, first, you prepared the ground.
Prepared?
Yes, you plowed and you planted and you fertilized.
You just lost me.
You worked all day in the sun. And then came the time to harvest the fruits and the vegetables. You were actually doing things with your own muscles.
I know where you saw that. At the dreams. Do you know which one? I'd like to see it, too.
It wasn't a dream.
Oh, it had to be.
No.
That proves how great it was. You actually believe it. I mean, we're supposed to believe all the dreams while they're happening, but to believe one later.
It wasn't a dream.
I'm sure we could find it on your dreamer. Turn it on. Where do you keep it?
I don't have one.
You mean you go to the public dream?
Well, I just go because if you don't go sometimes, control starts to get so suspicious.
But if you don't go to the dreams, what else is there to do with yourself all day?
I like to go places.
Well, where's there to go? One place is like any other. Joe? I'm stupid, but I'm only passively stupid. I don't do anything stupid. You?
You shouldn't ask me that.
Well, why not? We're married.
And so what? We could become unmarried tomorrow. All either of us would have to do is report to a computer station and say one word, dissolve. I've said that word before, and so have you.
Yes, but...
But what?
I told you about our marriage. I hope this one will be real.
I've stopped hoping.
Oh, you mustn't.
There can't be any real marriages today. I mean, look at us. Two people. We happen to meet. We like the looks of each other, and so we'll stay married till one of us meets someone who looks better.
But suppose we learn to know each other.
How could we do that? It would mean we agreed to trust each other.
Yes.
It would mean we place our lives in each other's hands.
Yes.
No.
Joe, maybe you and I could be different.
I have to go out.
Where?
Look, I'm only married to you. I don't have to answer your questions.
Hey, hi, Joe.
No, I received your message. Why do you want to see me?
You'd better not come out to the farm for a while.
Why?
Well, you've just been married.
What? So what? I've been married before.
We have to check her out first. How do you know she's not a control agent?
No, not Pris. Oh, she's a very simple girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Just the type you'd never suspect.
But how can I keep away from the farm? It's my whole life.
Well, just be patient till we find out definitely about Pris. Huh?
And what am I supposed to do meanwhile? I have to work to use my hands? Am I supposed to go to the dreams all day?
Hey, we have to be sure, Joe. If the computer ever finds out where the farm is...
And how can it find out? We've developed a camouflage shield that's further advanced than any probe they've got.
If we were betrayed, Joe...
Are you saying Pris is an agent?
If, Joe, if. Not a split second the computer absorbed that information, you and I, every last one of us, we'd be factored out. No, I won't use their jargon. I'll call it by its right name. We'd all be killed.
Why did this have to happen to me?
Oh, it isn't just you, Joe. Any time any one of us gets married, we have to discover whether or not the new partner is harmless.
Well, suppose I wasn't married.
There'd be no problem.
Then there's no problem now. I'll dissolve.
Joe, you can't be happy unless you're married. And we have to go through this every time. Now, it won't take long. Just be patient.
I can't keep away from the farm.
Look, I said I was sorry.
But I'm willing to dissolve the marriage.
No, you can't.
Why?
Well, what if she does happen to be an agent? She'll become suspicious. Now, that means you'll be kept under very close watch. Now, we couldn't afford to let you come to the farm in any event.
What am I supposed to do meanwhile?
Watch her. Study her carefully for any signs of a suspicious nature.
To the dreams.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's warm and sunny, and I wanted snow and mountains and skiing.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it passed the time.
Skiing?
What would you like to do now, Joe?
Why don't we perform marriage?
All right, Joe. What kind of music do you like?
Oh, any kind of music.
Is this all right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, just fine.
Joe?
Yeah?
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, of course I'm all right.
Your hands. I just noticed. Is there something wrong with your hands?
What could be wrong?
I never saw hands like yours. They seem to be so hard and so rough. You'd better report to medical.
My hands are all right.
How did they get like that?
Oh, forget about it.
How can I forget about it? If there's something wrong with you, it's your duty to report it to medical. If you don't, then it's my duty to report you.
Duty. That seems to be the operative word in this land of dreams in the far-off future. All right. We know what's wrong with his hands. All he has are simple calluses. In our society, a sign of honest toil. In his, a symbol of subversive activity. We'll see how it all works out in Act Two shortly.
Subversive.
You know, Dale, I never really looked at, as you got me thinking about it, as much as I've heard him here on the Mystery Theater, I've never really looked up much about Earl Hammond, as CW, I think CW mentioned him, or Gar did, one or the other. Anyway,
yes, it is.
He began acting in radio at the age of 7 in good old Buffalo, New York, and he was in actually about 12% of the radio mystery theaters. It was just absolutely, let me see. I was looking at that number, I did hear though, 279 episodes of the Radio Mystery Theater.
Yikes.
Went on to have some other some radio credits, and then some different television credits, most of them, you know, one-off type things, until it got into the 1980s. And then his voice came back as he was a voice in the Space Giants, 1967, Ultraman, 72, Star Blazers, 79 to 81, 25 episodes of that, which were the Japanese imports.
He was in Star Blazers.
Yeah, he was in the Thunderbirds 2086 TV series. He was in the Thundercats, 130 episodes. He was Mumra and Jaga.
Of course.
And no way. Yep, he was in Silverhawks in 1986. He was the voice of Monstar. And I think in the films, especially when it came to the Thundercats, Ho, the movie, he was Jaga, Mumra, Snarf, Slice, and Vulture Man, all of those in that one movie. So here's a man that really found his livelihood using his voice.
I envy him.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Whoa. Envy. Thunder.
Mumra, the ever-living. Snarf,
yes.
Snarf.
Yep.
Snarf. Oh, heavens.
And I thank my sons for that, because if they hadn't been interested in watching that, I never would have known about those shows. They were interesting shows, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, Thundercats, yeah.
I don't think my kids were into Thundercats. For whatever reason, whether it was the timing, their age, I don't know.
Thundercats and He-Man and She-Ra. Those
are
all shows. There was one other thing I read about. I'm trying to find it now. I guess it was mentioned in this listing, not in that. He also was the voice of Transformer villain Megatron.
What?
Yeah.
CW is being enlightened. It's usually the other way around. It's you blowing our minds away.
No kidding. I am gobsmacked. Yeah.
And he was even in 1994, which was maybe one of his last jobs. I don't know. But he was selected among several hundred actors who auditioned for the voice of Pope John Paul II on the audio tape version of the Random House book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope. That may have been one of his last.
I thought it was John Paul's greatest hits. Well, what do I
know? Could be. Could be. That came out after this one. Yeah.
I see.
Gosh. featuring Nurse Knucklebuster.
Yes.
Mr. Knucklebuster, that is.
Sister Mary Bloody Knuckles.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, my.
Anyway, I thought that was some interesting stuff for a guy I'd never really looked up before.
Intriguing. Very much so. Wow.
The things you learn here on Erie House Radio. Let's learn all about part two of our program from CBS Radio Mystery Theater back in 1981, The Land of Dreams. The goat remains nameless for now.
In ancient times, the average person was forced to perform labor, whether he wanted to or not. The overseer's whip saw to that. In our days, economic and social pressure provide the spur. But in the future world of our story, it's all reversed. Idleness is socially desirable. Industry is frowned upon and even prosecuted.
You would report me?
Joe, tell me what's wrong with your hand.
Nothing.
You're doing something stupid, aren't you? Oh, please, trust me.
Why should I trust you?
I know you think I'm silly, stupid, because I'm always going to the dreams.
I never said that.
I know you didn't say it. You think it. Joe, don't you see? I'm desperate. Like you, like everybody else. I have nothing to do. That's why I try to lose myself in the dreams. Save me. If I keep going to the dreams much longer, I'll be lost like most people. Lost and dead.
How can I save you?
The same way you're saving yourself. Whatever it is you're doing, let me do it with you. You're different.
How do you know?
Because I've spent my whole life just looking for somebody different. And when I saw you sitting in the park, I just knew you were different. I could feel it. So I took a chance. I spoke to you. Joe, I love you.
Love?
You know what love is. You've been to the dreams.
Yes, and it belongs in the dreams. How can we be in love? We can't have children.
Who says we can't?
The law?
I don't care about the law. I only care about you and me and the true expression of our love, which would be a child.
You would have a child?
Yes.
But you would have to carry this child, this embryo, in your own body.
Yes.
And allow it to grow there, to full term.
Yes.
It could be dangerous for you.
I understand that's what all mothers used to do thousands of years ago.
But even if it wasn't discovered and the child were born alive, the troubles would only begin. He couldn't be registered. He. Oh, we couldn't even decide which.
I don't care. I'll take either.
We'd have to hide him or her somehow. And raise him somehow until he'd be old enough for us to forge an identity.
Yes.
Pris, are you sure?
I'm sure.
Why?
I told you. I love you.
I always wanted to be in love. I just never met anyone like you before. I thought I'd have to wait forever.
So did I. I'm scared.
You can change your mind.
No. We'll just have to find a place to have the child. And a place to raise the child. A secret place. Where?
Where?
Citizens, to date, no one has responded to the orders of control to report any suspicions concerning the location of the subversive place known as the farm. If it should be ascertained that you have such information and are deliberately withholding it, you will be punished by being factored out of the human equation. This message is over.
I have an idea. Mel, what do you mean we're giving up the farm?
We can't win. Now, sooner or later, the computer will develop a device to pierce the camouflage force field. And then we're all dead.
Then let's destroy the computer.
What are you talking about?
Let's set the date and the time. And on the signal, we'll have people go to every computer station and just destroy them. Wouldn't that be the end of it?
No. You look at the computer as just a mass of circuits.
Well, what else is it?
The computer has created a life of its own. What do you mean, life?
Joe, we're humans. We evolved over millions of years from organic matter. Now, we were created by a cosmic force or forces that sparked life into this matter. Well, the computer has also become a cosmic force.
Now, do you know what you're talking about?
The computer has also sparked life into inorganic matter, rocks, minerals, metals.
Life? No, I don't believe it.
This life has developed into creatures exactly like ourselves, human in every respect, except they're synthetic.
Human? I can't believe it.
Now, anyone you see walking down the street, anyone at all, could be a synthetic. Now, soon, they'll be the only ones left in this world.
No, that's impossible.
Why? The human race is disappearing, isn't it? We're dying of boredom. We built machines to relieve us of our work, and now we learn too late that without work, we must die. The computer doesn't allow us to reproduce. In just a few years, only the synthetics will be left.
All right. What do you think we can do about it?
There's nothing we can do about it.
No, you're wrong. We humans will have to have children.
But the computer won't permit it.
Oh, the computer. First it drives us to madness, and then it gets rid of us completely. No! We're gonna have children.
You know what happens to those who get caught.
All we need are numbers. Enough humans who want to stand up and fight. Oh, this generation, you can forget about them. Most of us have been brainwashed by the dreams. But we'll raise new generations. Fighters.
Where could we do it?
On the farm.
But if they find us?
If they find us, we're finished anyhow. We'll have to keep perfecting new camouflage techniques. We'll just have to stay ahead of the computer, that's all.
I don't know.
What's the farm for? And the workshop. To keep us occupied, to keep us from going crazy. We were willing to risk being killed for that. Isn't this more important?
Yes, but where would we get the women who'd be willing?
Well, I've already got mine. Chris. She wants to have a child.
How do you know?
We talked about it.
You talked about it?
Yes, and we've more than talked about it. We've decided to do it.
You have just placed your life in her hands. What if she is an agent, an informer?
Okay, couldn't you wait until we cleared her? Do you realize it's been years since a human child has been born? Soon we'll all be too old. And then it'll be too late. No, there's no time, Mel.
How do you know we can trust her?
I know.
How?
We're in love, Mel. We're in love. Let's stop here, Pris.
Oh? I thought we were going to the farm.
And that's right, we are. And we're here.
But where is it? The farm.
You're looking at it.
I don't see anything.
You don't?
Well, just the same fields we've been walking through.
Well, that's good. It shows you how effective our camouflage shield is. Now, you move past this tree.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, what happens now?
Mel, or whoever's on duty, will see us and open the force field to let us come in. Now, that's right. Let's just stand here.
Joe, what happened?
Fantastic, isn't it?
Well, it's as if we've suddenly been transported to another country.
In many ways, this is another country. This is the farm.
I've never seen fields that looked like this in all my life. Not even at the dreams. What's that?
That in front of you? Well, that's a wheat field.
Wheat?
Yeah, those stalks on the top are ground into flour. And from that, you make bread.
Bread?
And on your right is corn.
It looks so pretty.
Wait till it's ripe, and we pick some, and you look inside.
And what's on those trees?
Fruits.
Yes, you told me about those.
Yes, these are apples. Would you like to taste one? No, here, wait. Here's a real beauty. Taste it.
Where's the liquid?
Well, there isn't any. You bite into it.
Bite?
That's what your teeth are for, biting.
Biting?
Thousands of years ago, people used to bite all their food instead of drinking it. You see? You bite into the apple, and you chew it with your teeth.
But why?
So you can reduce it to a kind of a pulp and swallow it. Then in your stomach, it can be converted into a liquid.
Well, but isn't it more efficient the way we do it now? To reduce to a liquid before we eat it.
Yes, of course, it's more efficient. But this way, it's more delicious. Come on, have a bite.
Well, I don't think I know how.
You don't have to know. Just do what comes naturally.
All right, I'll try. Joe? Oh, Joe.
Well, how do you like it?
Oh, it's out of this world. I don't know what to say. It's magnificent.
You have so many marvelous discoveries waiting for you. Oranges and pears, berries, bread, meat.
Meat? What's that like?
Oh, there's no way to describe the texture. Taste. Oh, it's a whole new world. Here, come. Let me show you through the workshop.
The shop?
Yeah, it's part of the farm. You'll see people preparing the food by hand and making clothes by hand and building furniture.
It's unbelievable.
But this is what the world was like thousands of years ago.
What a world that must have been.
Yes. And if we only could get back to it.
If only we could go back. Is this to be the eternal cry of the human race? Oh, for the good old days. Are the times we live in always the times that are out of joint? Why do we constantly bemoan the present? Don't we realize that one day a future generation will look back on our era and call it the good old days? We're going to have the good old third act shortly.
And it's always nice when you turn the microphone on. We will be back with part three of CBS Radio Mystery Theater in a little while. Stop it. Harumph, harumph, harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Oh, my.
Sort of like the, almost like the Matrix. Actually.
Yeah. The cult.
Yeah, I guess it is a little, isn't it? Yeah.
Kind of cultish. We will control your entire lives.
Yeah, the Matrix meets Big Brother meets, I don't know, a friendlier Terminator, so to speak.
How do you know it's friendlier? You don't know that yet.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I am not programmed for friendliness. Hasta la vista.
Hurry, get to the chopper. Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. Get to the chopper.
Okay.
That was Predator, wasn't
don't
it?
Don't have a tumor.
I will run for governor of California. I love the way he said that. California.
Yeah, it's true. Never quite got rid of a lot of his accent, did he? Very much like Bela Lugosi. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he went through, he actually, when you hear him in when he does Pumping Iron, that was the first thing he ever really did that used his voice. I mean, he did do something else, but they dubbed his voice out. But yeah, and you hear him now, you can hear, you know, the accent's lessened, but not by much.
Yeah. But that makes it all the more fun when we talk about Arnold.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun talking about Arnold and the accent, yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, since you two have experience in the multiple marriage things, you know, this sounds like also, you just, you know, walk in, you know, push a button, you're married, and if you want, you can just walk back in and push a button and you're not married. Sort of
no,
like Vegas.
It wasn't quite that easy, no.
Yeah, there's a small matter of cash and lots of it.
Yeah.
It was that part they left out.
I had two children, so you know it made it a little bit more difficult as well. Because in
that
the future, there are no real children, so yeah.
I am so glad I did not have children with the first wife. That made things much better. I'm free to hate you now.
What? You don't want to be friends?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the last things she said. You want to be friends? I'm like, you wished me dead in a car accident. I got better friends than you. I swear that was the last thing I said to her. You wished me dead in a car accident. I got better friends than you.
Wow. Now, was this before or after you found out she had a life insurance policy on you?
No, I don't know. Doesn't matter. I sleep light.
Thank you.
I sleep lightly, my friends. you have to when you live
the life
of Dale K. No, yeah, right.
Yes, yes, Wrangler of Nichols from college.
We both did much better second time around.
Yes. Yeah. Practice is over. We're on the real deal now.
But if anything ever happens in any direction, I always said I never make the same mistake three times. So this is it. This is it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. This radio play sounding like a Hollywood marriage. Well, just the first eight were just testers. Number nine's the winner.
Yeah, it's time to find a different hobby at that point if you're on that many spots.
Yeah.
You need a new hobby.
I have a friend, Dave Crosby.
Go to the movies by yourself, you know.
When radio plays. He definitely believed in marriage. He was married like six times. I'm not sure his exes believed in marriage anymore, but he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
He never gave up on it. Never gave up on it.
Can't call that guy a quitter. No siree.
No. Call him a lot of things. You can't call him a quitter.
Talk about dreams. Wow. That guy's a dreamer.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep a lawyer on speed dial.
Yeah. Speed dial. It's not that funny. When you've been to it. It hurts, actually. I got better friends than you, I told her. Oh, my.
There's a name for your book of poetry. I've got better friends and other sage pieces of advice.
Speaking of poetry, how about a little just before we finish up Land of Dreams? Take this kiss upon the take this kiss upon the brow, and in parting from you now, thus much let me avow. You are not wrong who deem that my days have been a dream. Yet if hope has flown away in a night or in a day, in a vision or in none, is it therefore the less gone? All that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. I stand amid the roar of a surf-tormented shore, and I hold within my hand grains of the golden sand. How few, yet how they creep through my fingers to the deep while I weep, while I weep. O God, can I not grasp them with a tighter clasp? O God, can I not save one from that pitiless wave? Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream? E.A. Poe.
That was kind of the poem that was yesterday's story was kind of built upon, was it not?
Yes.
So
it was certainly quoted in last night's story with other Poe stuff.
And Dale, I never got your opinion on Alien Worlds.
Oh, I liked it a lot. Very modern, of course, compared to what we're used to here. The bulk of what we have is is pre-1960, but that was great. Good old Bob comment. I think it was good old Bob commented yesterday about the quality of the sound was really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a little ditty, but to quote about dreams as well. But
why don't we catch that right after the third act?
Oh,
because that'll give you some chance to practice it a couple times before we go on. How's that?
Oh, yes. Let's. The Land of Dreams from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Here's the conclusion. Gotcha.
Mankind always mourns the loss of Eden. But that is Eden as an idea, very rarely an actuality. There is a universal yearning for paradise, but nowhere a clear idea of just what exactly paradise is like, or what you would do there. Like everything, can paradise also be too much of a good thing?
What is this place?
The bakery.
Oh, it's so warm in here.
Douglas has just finished baking bread.
What is bread?
Here, a fresh loaf. Let me cut you a slice.
It's wonderful.
You have so many more wonderful things to see and feel and do. Come on. I want you to meet Mel.
What's he doing?
You must never disturb a craftsman at his work.
Hey, that should do it. Oh, hi, Joe.
Hi, Mel.
Hi. And this is Pris, huh?
Hi, Mel.
Pris is one of us now.
Well, what is it you'd like to do, Pris?
Do?
Well, yeah, everyone here has an urge. Joe wants to be a farmer. Doug is a baker.
Isn't it obvious what Pris wants, Mel? She wants to be a mother.
Yes, of course. And that's the most important thing for all of us right now.
What do you do, Mel?
Oh, I'm a gunsmith.
What's that?
Oh, many thousands of years ago, people used guns.
What for?
To kill.
Kill? What's that?
Well, it was a way of factoring someone out of the human equation.
You mean that thing, that gun, could make someone disappear?
Yeah, in a way, in a different sort of way.
Uh-huh. I don't understand.
Well, that someone would cease to function.
But why would you even be interested in a thing like that?
Here, look what a beautiful piece of work this is, huh? It's the type of gun called a revolver. Now, you see how intricately it's made? Here, how all the parts turn upon themselves so smoothly.
Uh-huh, but how does it work?
Well, one places these cylinders inside. Now, they contain explosives. One day I'll explain to you how that's made. And one just blows up anything one points at. You see that glass?
What is glass?
Oh, one day I'll explain that too. But notice what happens to it. Now watch.
It's all right, Chris.
Oh, how frightening.
No, here. Wait. You see what happened to the glass?
Oh, where is it?
It's on the floor. It's broken into thousands of tiny pieces.
Oh, Mel. Could you do that to a person?
Oh, yes, easily. You could just blow someone apart, especially with the explosive I used.
I don't feel well.
Joe, she'd better rest. Would you take her home?
No, I'll be all right.
No, you are the most important member of our group, Pris. You have to think of the baby.
Oh, no. I can't. Joe.
Pris.
Joe.
Pris, wake up. Pris.
What's the matter with me?
Pris, are you all right?
Well, I was having a nightmare. Why?
It must have been the bread and the fruit and the meat.
But they were so delicious.
I know, but you're not used to them. You have to retrain your entire digestive system.
Why? Why am I so afraid?
It's natural to be afraid. You're having a baby, remember? All by yourself.
Yes.
Do you want to go back to sleep?
No. I want to go for a walk.
Now? Well, I'll go with you.
No. Please.
Oh, all right. I understand in the very old days when women were pregnant, they used to have all kinds of whims. Be careful.
What could happen to me?
Well, I mean, there's the baby.
Yes. A baby.
This is all-purpose computer station K. State your objective.
Security.
Face the blue light. Now the red. You are Operative 7. Your assigned name is Pris. You were sent out to ascertain the location of the subversion known as the farm.
Yes.
Report.
I wish to be taken off the assignment.
State your reason.
I just feel I can't do it, that's all.
Stand by for scanning.
Please.
Stand by. Face the yellow light. You are in love.
No.
The truth. Yes. It is logical for you to be in love.
But that's stupid.
Since your mission was to uncover stupid people, you had to be programmed for stupidity yourself.
But I love him.
Only because it was programmed. You can be reprogrammed completely.
But the baby...
There is no baby.
But I want a baby. I love Joe.
You can't. All this is merely a temporary implanted circuit. It isn't real.
But the baby... The baby is real?
How can the baby be real?
I want my baby. And nothing, nobody is going to stop me.
Face the green light.
No.
You were only reacting, and splendidly, it must be said, to your programming. No wonder you were able to fool them. Stand by.
Standing by.
New instructions. You have ascertained the location of the so-called farm and workshop.
Affirmative.
You will continue in present role until further orders. Understood.
Affirmative.
Object, to gather together as many farm subversives as possible before factoring the group out of the human equation. Understood?
Affirmative.
Chris.
Yes.
Oh, you're home. Is everything all right?
Yes.
Feeling better?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Go back to sleep, Joe. Go back to sleep.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Mel. How's Pris? She's fine.
Hmm. Are you sure?
Of course.
Have you noticed anything about her lately? I mean, maybe something different?
No. Although I...
Yes?
It's nothing.
No, just tell me what it is.
It's just... I think she's kind of edgy these days.
In what way?
She seems irritable. Out of sorts.
Oh, I see. Like,
ordinarily, it's the kind of thing someone would report to a medical computer for and get an adjustment. But in her condition, how can we take such a chance?
Listen, we can't risk having anything happen to her. Now bring her out to the farm as soon as you can.
Mel wants to say hello to you first thing, Pris.
All right.
Pris, wait a minute. Are you sure everything's all right?
Everything's fine. On schedule.
I just wanted to be certain.
Oh, shut up!
Pris.
I'm sorry, Joe. I'm so sorry.
What is it? Won't you tell me?
Oh, it's just something. Vestigial.
Vestigial? What on earth can that mean?
Oh, it means something is left. And it's trying to get through.
Chris, what are you talking about?
Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine.
You know what I think? I think it's the food here. Sometimes people need a long time to get used to it.
I'm sure that's right.
It's not only the food. I guess it's a culture shock. I mean, what we're doing here flies in the entire face of outside society. Isn't that true?
Yes.
You see, society today is merely a one-step transformer and a gigantic funnel. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
The computer just assembles nutrients from the ground and forms them into food values. It takes metals and minerals from the earth and forms them into whatever shapes and structures that are needed. Isn't that so?
Yes.
But what we're trying to do is to go back to a simpler...
Less efficient.
Well, yes. Less efficient, maybe. But more human.
Human?
Yes, human.
To be human is to be less efficient.
Of course.
You admit?
Well, it was never an issue. What's so great about efficiency, anyhow?
Well, it's...
Oh, no, come on, Chris. Too much of anything is a bad thing. Even too much efficiency. That's why we have to destroy the computers.
Destroy? Kill?
No. You can't kill a computer. It's not a human being. It doesn't have feelings.
Are you sure, Joe?
How can a computer possibly have feelings? Oh, hey, why are we talking about these things anyhow?
Joe, humans built the first computers.
Yeah, and that was our first mistake.
And after you destroy these computers, how do you know you won't build more and start this thing all over again?
Well, if we do, we won't let it get out of hand.
How do you know?
Oh, Chris, you have to have more faith in mankind than that. We'll raise our child to have that kind of faith, won't we?
Yes.
Hi, Mel.
Hi, Mel.
Oh, hi to you both.
That's a new gun, I see.
Huh? Oh, yeah. It is the most powerful one yet. We may need it.
Why?
Well, one day we'll have to destroy the computers. What do you think, Pris?
Yes, we will.
Well, I'm glad you brought Pris here, Joe. We have to decide what to do when her time comes.
We know that already. We have to find someone who knows about primitive medicine so she can have the best chance to deliver the baby.
I don't think Pris is having a baby. Are you, Pris?
Well, of course she's having...
Let her answer it, Joe. Are you, Pris?
Yes.
Well, that should answer your question.
Pris, what were you doing at All-Purpose Computer Station K? What were you doing at a computer station to begin with?
What are you saying, Mel?
I say we have been watching her.
What?
She is an agent.
Oh, that's a lie.
Is it? There are at least 10 computer stations closer to your home than Computer K. But only the K station can be programmed into security. Now, why did she have to contact security?
Pris, is he telling the truth?
No.
There. You see, she dies.
What, do you expect her to admit it?
Believe me, Joe. I love you.
Now, listen to her voice. It's losing its human quality.
Love you, Joe.
The computer tried to make her human, but she fell in love and couldn't perform her mission. It tried to dehumanize her a little, but it's no good. Under stress, she is losing her reality.
You're all under arrest. I love you, Joe. You will all stand by for factory.
We have got to stop her.
Oh, please.
Out of the way, Joe.
No, don't.
I... love you, Joe.
If she leaves, we'll be factored out.
I love you, Joe.
Pris!
I love you, Joe.
Pris. She's a machine, Joe. Joe, she's just a machine.
No!
That's all she was, Joe. A machine.
I loved her.
Oh, Joe, we forgot how to love long time ago, and look what happened.
Yes, look at what can happen if we can't find a way to live with progress. If we can't learn to live with security, with plenty. Seems like it would be a very easy thing to do. Well, it's always the easy things that baffle us. The difficult things like going to the moon, splitting the atom. These present no real problems, but something basic like living together and loving each other. Aye, as Mr. Shakespeare said, there's the rub. I'll be back shortly. Who was it that said, if a man cannot dream sometimes, he is hopeless. But if he dreams all the time, he is helpless. Dreams, the most mysterious aspect in all of human life. What is a dream? What do we mean by the land of our dreams? A dream, it can be an escape from reality. It can also suggest an escape to reality. Like everything else, it all depends on what you do with it. Our cast included Christopher Tabori, Marion Haley, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Hyman! That wraps up CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Dave, any words of wisdom for this particular episode?
I suppose there is for me anyway.
Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar, the day that machines start dreaming is the day I get out of that job. That's it.
That's it.
I am sitting on the sofa. There's a TV in the corner. I am watching Major Nelson. He is played by Larry Hagman. And he found a little bottle and dolled Pop Barbara Eden. But she couldn't show her belly button. All she did was blink.
Good evening, Major Nelson.
Tony Nelson works at NASA with suspicious Dr. Fellows. And there's also Roger Healy, who would become Howard Borden. And he always means well, but they get in wacky trouble. She folds her arms and blinks her eyes. It's kind of like Bewitched.
Oh, good heavens. Janie!
Yes, Master.
Oh, the reruns will continue on the TV as I'm watching the pink smoke of her bottle. I am dreaming of Jeannie.
Too funny.
That was good stuff.
That is great. That is.
Genie. Had to get one more genie in there. Genie. Oh, I don't even where I don't even know where I find half of this stuff.
That is.
Larry Hagman. He sure disliked that. That mostly because you know he did all that and they're making all that money and. He never made it any money in residuals. So all his talent, along with Barbara Eden's there, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, they never had, no one had any clue that this would be going well into the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were just looking for a hit as a kind of sort of a ripoff of
Bewitched,
which is what it kind of was. So
kind of like Bewitched.
So the CW had a poem for us.
Oh,
yes. More poetry tonight.
More of a rendition of a song, just partially, if you please. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Please put on your magic beams. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Now that's the dream part. Then we get to the nightmare part. A nightmare is a dream. Oh, hello, Michael Myers. That's a favorite of Mr. Michael Myers. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know that
they
played that, what was it, at the end of Halloween 2, I believe, the Mr. Sandman, and it was so chilling. I remember when I saw it for the very first time in the theater, that left me with a chill, that song, that dun 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 dun.
Yeah. I did not want to be left out in the poem department tonight, and I heard everybody had a poem.
Poem.
I had to compose one during. Now, this is a rush job. This was during the third act. Some dream of riches beyond belief, while some dream of life without grief. Some dream of worldwide fame, while others dream of getting in the game. Some dream of traveling afar, while others dream of that special car. In a dream, you can become whatever we be. But for me, my dream is lots of ice cream. Here we go.
Oh, I like
Lou.
That.
Aw, nicely done.
Aww.
Nicely done, yes. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, wonderful.
The secret
if
to
I
world
had, peace. If I knew that this was coming, I would have worked on it a little harder, but I only have the third act to figure it out. Sorry.
No, that was awesome in that short of time.
That was great.
Yeah.
No, applause. Applause button,
yes.
Please.
Kudos.
Cooties? No, I don't want cooties.
Yes, too late.
Dave's got cooties. Yep, that
God.
Was definitely a poem that is karma approved. Hint, hint.
It was what
so
approved?
Lots of...
That was karma.
Oh, good. My basement could use some of that. Okay, cool.
Karma.
Karma approved.
Yes. Karma approved. I always give in when somebody wants a polka. Hey, a polka you shall have. Dun, dun, dun. There we go.
Thank you.
It's always a good cheer. There's no such thing as a sad polka. There is no such thing as a sad polka.
Well,
think about
just
it.
Oh, well.
An idea to make the sad polka.
I dare anyone to write a polka dirge, you know? I just don't think it can be done.
Well, you know what? I was down in New Orleans once.
I think Weird Al. Weird Al could do it.
The polka dirge.
But I was down in New Orleans once.
Fun.
And there was one of those street funerals. And even though they were playing a dirge, it still sounded really cool. You can't help it, man, with jazz. You just can't help it.
Well, and I think with some cultures, too, death is kind of a celebration. It's not necessarily an ending. It's a new beginning. Just a lot quieter for one of us.
Yeah, that's true. So we got time to spin that old wheel, Dale.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
We got all kinds of time.
We have a nickel, thanks to your puppy.
Yeah, stolen from my dog. What do we do? The nickel or the wheel? Shall we do
We could start with the wheel and see if we got time for the box there.
Fair
yes,
enough. Who gets the honors to spin?
I think I did it more recently, so I'm stepping back.
I'll step up to the to the test pan. Here I go. Here I am. And a one and a two and spin to win.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Chapter 2 of The Day After Christmas is entitled I Give Up, and it stars Junior, the mean little kid.
Now, how did she know I was doing something wrong? It beats me, boy. She will, no doubt. what did you want, kiddo?
Come downstairs.
Yes, ma'am. In a few minutes. At the moment, I is very busy.
Well, drop what you're doing and come down here.
Okay. I was pouring water out of the flower vase.
Come down here at once.
I better step on it, boy. I detect the hairbrush tone in her voice. I slide down the banisters. It will be quicker. Yeah. But don't yell like that. You scared me, too. Goodness, you make me stop like that, and you know it's impossible but to get a retread over the holidays.
Junior, you've broken 6 vases this week. 6. Now, how do you explain that?
Well, Sunday is the day of rest.
It looks like a cyclone hit it.
Well, don't blame it on me. Blame it on Santa Claus for bringing me that chemistry set. The first thing I did was make myself a uranium spitball. Boy, we better move to Las Vegas to try out my other inventions. Anyway, I'd like to see more pop anyhow.
Your father doesn't spend much time in Nevada. He only goes there for big game hunting.
Yeah, shooting dice.
Your father does not gamble.
Oh, living in this house with me is a gamble. As Foster would say.
Junior, come here. Mother wants to talk to you.
Well, does we have to go through that birds and bees routine again? Frankly, I'm getting quite bored of that, you know.
No, darling.
You told me about the birds and bees, and I kissed the bee and he stung me.
This is really something else.
So?
In a few days, the year 1951 will be gone forever.
Well, don't blame that on me. Nothing to do with you, kiddo.
We'll start a brand new year.
Yeah?
And I think it's about time you make some resolutions for 1952.
Okay, I'm going to make 3 of them. First, wash 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. Second, never do refuse to take a nap. Now, how's that for a revolution?
Resolution. Not revolution.
Personally, I think it's revolting.
You name 2, Junior. What about the 3rd one?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. My 3rd one is not to pay any attention to the first 2. I has a little plan all breaked up, because I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyhow, so why be miserable, you know?
You won't be miserable, dear.
Yes, I will.
You'll be improving your character.
Well, I'm too much of a character as it is. Is you going to make any revolutions?
Resolutions, Junior. Resolutions. Yes, dear. I'm going to try to make your home life even happier than it has been.
You've been like this ever since you've been listening to them English movies on television.
That's what?
Resolutions. Can't we go down and have some to eat? Does we have to stay... get lost, kiddo? Well, you mean that you... If I live a better life with you, it's going to, top of page 27?
Well, I'm not going to burn the hairbrush, if that's what you mean.
I knew she'd find it sooner or later.
In fact, I've started my resolution already.
Oh?
Right now, I have something baking in the oven.
I know. I've been watching the smoke steam out of the kitchen.
Oh, good heavens!
Yes. Fire!
No, it isn't fire! No!
What's that?
The oven was too hot and I burned the first batch of buns.
Well, shall I go get some onion tea?
Now, where's that cookbook?
It's over there. You burned that, too.
That's enough, Junior. Now, stop that. Now, go play with your dog. I'm busy.
Well, my dog is asleep on my bed.
What? You get yourself right upstairs and get him off. It's unhealthy for him to sleep on your bed.
Well, I know, but he get used to it.
Now, you go upstairs and get that dog off your bed.
I don't have to go upstairs to do that. All I got to do is open this icebox door. What, kiddo? Eat there, boy. Works better than a whistle. Better than a whistle. There, you hungry, Duke? Huh? Hey, what's the trick I taught you, Mommy? What's the trick? Okay, Luke, stand up. Stand up, will you? Stand up.
Oh, what a stupid dog. You told him to sit up and he laid down.
Well, he's not stupid. You don't tell a dog to do something and he does it. But you tell a dog to do something and he do something on his own, it takes brains to think of that. He's not stupid. You see, he's part German Shepherd and he don't understand English very well. Why do you call my puppy dog stupid? You call him stupid and you're not stupid.
Oh, no, now, Junior, now don't
you
cry.
You know he's stupid, and I know he's stupid, but he thinks he's Einstein.
Now, darling, don't cry. I'll let you be the first one to sample one of my cinnamon buns.
Oh, no, you're not going to make no guinea pig out of me. Take it away, kid. Take it away. Oh, South America, take it away.
Now, that was not a very nice thing to say about my buns. Here, now, try one.
Well, why press me luck? Here, I'll let the puppy dog taste it. Here, boy. Here, take a bite of it. Look!
Take it away from him. He's getting crumbs all over the floor.
Them ain't crumbs. Them just seeds. Look, his teeth fall out. Look at that. Oh, his teeth fall out. Ooh, look at him sneer at me.
You deserve a good whipping.
Mommy, if you as much as lay a hand on me, I'm going to tell on you.
You'll tell what?
I will tell everybody that you run a bookie business in the basement.
Why, that's not so.
Oh, no. Stay where you are. This is a race.
Hurry! Hurry! Hide the phone! What am I going to do to you?
Well, you know.
You go upstairs to your room and think about your New Year's resolutions.
Okay, Lieutenant. Which one shall I work on?
The one that will help you to be a better boy.
Oh?
And make you thankful for the things you have.
Well, has I got something to be thankful for?
Why, certainly everyone has.
Well, what have you got to be thankful for?
I'm thankful for you.
Oh, this kid blew her top. Boy,
yes, I am.
Sawdust is coming out of her ears right now. You're a real George, Clyde. You dreamer, you. You as thankful you has me?
Yes, darling.
Then why is it every time you look at me, you get up, walk across the room, and punch me pop right in the nose?
Not too much after Christmas, but that was a day after Christmas with Red Skelton. As Junior, the mean widow kid.
Yeah, okay. He tried that on television. It just didn't work. Come out like it could when you saw it in your own mind.
No. Clem Kiddlehopper was his best, in my point of view.
Clem was cool.
Especially when he was with... Was he with Vincent Price, or was that another one of his characters?
Freddy the Freeloader. Freddy the Freeloader. That was a marvelous special there HBO had. Yes, way back when.
Yeah.
Way back.
Which is on YouTube now, so you don't have to pay for
it. Yeah. That's right.
So I have successfully wrestled this nickel from Paladin. Let me pop it in the jukebox because we got just enough time.
Going to be a leading man or a goat, I'd better sing my song right now, huh?
What's the name of it, Dean?
Hey, you're adorable.
I know. And B, I'm beautiful. And C, I'm captivating.
A, you're adorable, B, you're so beautiful, C, you're a cutie full of charm, D, you're a darling, and E, you're exciting, and F, you're a feather in my arms, G, you look good to me, and H, you're so heavenly, I, you're the one I idolize. J, you're like Jack and Jill. K, you're so kissable. Al, there's a love light in your eyes. M-M-O-P-E. I could go on all day. Q-R-S-T, alphabetically speaking, you're okay. You made my life complete, and V means you're very sweet. W-X-Y-Z. It's fun to wander through the alphabet with you, to tell you what you mean to me. M-N-O-P. I could go on all day. Q-R-S-T, alphabetically speaking, you're okay. Well, you made my life complete, and V means you're very sweet. W-X-Y-Z. It's fun to wander through the alphabet with you, to tell you what you mean to me.
One of the all-time crooners there, Dean Martin.
Oh, man. Hey, talking about laid-back guys. I loved it. Yeah. Loved his delivery. Yep. So, Dale, what's happening next week on Erie House Radio?
Nothing. We're shutting down the doors. No.
Okay.
No, I'm just being a card. I ought to be dealt with. Cutting the deck here, gang, with stories about cards and card games and such. And then we'll even deal another hand on Saturday, too. Ooh, next Friday, it's The Falcon, Escape and Suspense. Saturday, Mystery in the Air with Pete. And, of course, we got Nick Carter after that. So,
yeah. So
that's what next weekend looks like. Mm-hmm. Any sightings Woo-hoo. Of Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and or Spaceship One in the near future where folks could see it?
Mm-hmm. I think we're on Vortex this week. I'm not sure. Slugger was talking about moving us to Monday, so I'm not sure whether we'll be on Monday or Tuesday, but Monday or Tuesday, 9 p.m., we should be on with one of our shows. I don't know which one because she hasn't asked me for a while, so I sent her a bunch at a time, and now it'll be her, Slugger's choice.
Hey, easy. Just go to the Vortex Facebook page and check it out.
Horrorhouse.net.
Yep. You can go there, too.
Don't forget the Twitch tonight with Garth Ghoul.
That's right. Yeah, that's coming up in just about 2 minutes. A little less than 2 minutes. Audible Horror starring, give or take. Yeah, starring our Horrible Horror himself.
I'll be over there, and we can all meet in the chat room and watch Gar do amazing things that he does live. That takes a lot more guts than what I do. I can pre-film it a few times and get it the way I want it.
There you go.
Yep.
I'm with you. I'm a pre-production guy. Pre and post. Yep. So, folks, thanks for stopping by Erie House Radio. We'll see you
next
week.
Thank you for everybody in the...
Ah, yes.
Yep.
That would include good old Bob and Fogsbane. Thank you so much.
And thank you, CW.
Oh, always a pleasure, of course.
Yes. Thank you for joining us, and we will see folks next weekend. Between then and now, just go in the archive and listen to every show possible. It'll take you a couple of years to catch up if you're just joining us now.
Binge listening, everyone.
Yes. Binge listen to Erie House. It's good for you.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left. But me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in
Frankenstone.
Don't come alone.
Usually he doesn't forget his line.
And you dig it.
I dig it. I really dig it.
Yeah, man. Right on. Yeah. Groovy.
Gnarly.
Gnarly.
Awesome to the max.
Awesome to the max, dude. Dream, dream, dream. One of the greatest movies of all time was a dream. Wizard of Oz.
Of course.
Well, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. A movie that wasn't very successful when it came out. That's to be sure. Television was another one of those great things for that movie.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Saved that movie. It saved A Christmas Story. It saved Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
That was
Little Shop of Horrors was in danger of becoming, like, extinct, practically.
Well, the thing is, Roger Corman, when he made that, didn't think it had any merit. Basically, they rehearsed it up until they could get the studio. They rehearsed it for, like, 2 weeks like a play, filmed it in basically 3 days with another day of reshoot things, at the nighttime scenes down the road. But he thought it was so insequential of a film, he did not even bother to copyright it.
Yep.
Oh,
so
no.
After a run as a double feature in the theater, TV stations found out, what? We can run this for free?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the best public domain movies out there, CW. That's why all the horror hosts at one time or another have hosted Little Shop of Horrors.
And it's been a play, and it's also been a major motion picture.
Mm-hmm.
As a musical, yeah. And, yeah.
Oh.
Yes, with Audrey Plant.
Yeah, that must hurt. That must hurt.
Yeah, it's still good resume material, though.
Absolutely.
There's been a few like that where it's like, well, another case in point, I think it was accidentally not copyrighted, was the Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
That was originally copyrighted, but it fell out of copyright because of some sort of snafu. I remember that.
It didn't, yeah. Yeah, it didn't. He didn't renew it properly.
When it goes out,
you have like 2 years to re your copyright, I guess.
Took the nap at the wrong time.
Yeah, no kidding. And I don't know. I hope he kicked his lawyer very thoroughly. But yeah, I remember that specifically because I was on a torrent looking for. things and
that's fine. We've all been there.
Long story short, you know, I saw Night of the Living Dead, and saw Night of the Living Dead. Night is all over the place. I'm saying, what is going on here? So I went and checked news sources and think, you mean it's free?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What happened?
Yeah.
Who else told me it was free? And you know, I still like boggled my mind.
Oops is right, but again, Romero did fine for himself. It's not like that. He wasn't a one and done guy. He had success.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, I had no idea Corman didn't make any residual off Little Shop of Horrors. I mean, oh my gosh, that.
Yeah, never was a copyright on that.
Never copyrighted it.
Yeah, so, why bother? We know it sucks.
Yeah.
Look what happens.
So just remember, no matter how much you think it really bites the big one, copyright it, because there's probably several million people out there who will enjoy it.
The whole copyright thing is so much different than basically as long as you have proof of when and where you wrote it. There used to be a way that people would self-copyright it. They'd send it in an envelope to themselves, sealed up, and postmarked, And that way they could prove that they, you know, that they had that idea before others did.
Yes. I would imagine that would still hold up in court today, wouldn't it?
I think that would still, because you're trying to prove that you had it. We have one of the Mystery Theater's Garrisons of the Dead ended up being a guy who stole a book from somebody else, and he was going to use that to do him, so he tried to kill him. So we'll get that one of these days here. We'll get to that one of these days.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, I must be away, so I must come to the center stage to do my task.
Yep,
without
that's it.
Further ado, oh, Mr. Durante, we're waiting just for you.
Good night.
It's time to say.
Good night.
What for this sake but good night?
Silly day.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Get that tickle off the stage.
We think and ink-a-dink-a-doo.
I'm getting pickled.
Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash. Where
Everyone. She's probably tickled. That's where she is.
Should hire the FBI.